This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is brought to you by Bulldog Yoga and Generate Life Sciences. We are very excited to have them on board, making our show a possibility. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Really, thank you.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Let me show you. Love is love if you don't have to make a family, but take a traditional ride. If these ovaries could talk, you would say.
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stay.
Oh my God. Can you hear the pigeon out my window?
No.
Can you hear?
Oh, that's your mom.
It's my mom.
That's your mom.
So for those of you who don't know, I went to a psychic once and she just doing my cards. And then she said, do you have anything else you want to talk about? And I was like, well, I did want to ask about my mom. She goes, oh my God, I'm so glad you said that. She's been with me all week. And it turned out the psychic was also a medium. And my mom, Rosie, showed up.
Oh my God. So
long story short, she told me at some point that my mom's signal for me was birds. So like, and she said, and don't forget pigeons or doves. And she said, don't forget pigeons or doves too. And so all winter long, these pigeons have been like right outside my window. And I keep thinking it's my mom, Rosie, saying hello to me from the other side. And so now my son walks by the window and he goes, hi, Rosie.
No, every time walking. I see pigeons, which is all the time in the city, I think of your mom now too. I say hi to Rosie, in my head.
And I think it's just because it's really cold. So our building has this weird curved front.
Yeah.
And so they're just trying to like stay warm in the window. But I think it's my mom.
It's totally your mom.
I know.
Anyway,
Jamie, do you like my t-shirt that I'm wearing?
I do like your t-shirt.
So this fine looking baseball tee is from our new merch line.
Yes.
I ordered a couple of things to test it out. I ordered a t-shirt and I ordered also a laptop case.
And when I finally get my shiznit together. I'm going to order some stuff too. But everybody, go buy that merch.
Yeah, we've got mugs, onesies, there's t-shirts, there's even like Ovaries Talk pillows, which is absurd. Phone cases.
I have to buy that.
All kinds of stuff.
There's a pillowcase?
Yeah, get a pillow.
It's just a pillow. It's like a throw pillow.
They're actual like little throw pillows.
It's a throw pillow. I saw it.
But more importantly, like Jamie was always on me about we need some kind of like a saying on our merch because nobody just wants a logo.
Nope.
So we did one line that is love makes a family.
Yeah. So it'll be good for your whole family for Pride. So start stocking up now. Love makes a family. Love makes
a
family.
Also, everybody can get a different colored t-shirt. So your little family makes a rainbow with love makes a family.
I see what you did there. But also, like, if you have any other ideas of things that we say all the time on this podcast that would look well on a shirt, please let us know. We'll put it on a shirt.
It should just be like a picture of Helen. Shut up, Helen.
Well, we're going to make a special Helen edition, I think.
I know. We haven't decided what the saying should be. It should just be like, wake up, Helen, with a picture of her smoking.
No, if people still smoked, it would be like an ashtray with Helen's face on it.
Go to ovariestalk.com if you would like to get some merch.
Yeah, go get that merch.
Let's talk about our guest, Jamie.
Yes, please.
Our next guest came to us because Zach, mm-hmm. Penny and Sue's son, he went out and he bought our book for them for Christmas because he thought that they would really like it. And Penny really dug the book and then reached out to us.
Yes. They are trailblazers. They are absolute trailblazers. They did some amazing things for families like ours, which you're going to hear in the episode. But mm-hmm. Penny is the sweetest person I think I just love Penny.
And they live in Canada and they fought continuously to establish rights for same-sex parents, which, you know, we love.
Yeah. So they set up a fund for other LGBTQ families trying to adopt.
Oh, wait. And Jamie, they ran that underground sperm group too.
That's a whole thing.
We got to just get to
There's a lot. You need to hear this story because Penny, I just love her.
And the dog, her Xena Princess Warrior. Let's get to it. Roll the tape, Helen. Hi, Penny, and welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming to talk to these ovaries, these old ovaries.
Where did we find you, Penny? Because I think I stalked you on Facebook or something. Where did we find you?
So for Christmas, my son gave us the book, If These Ovaries Could Talk. And so in reading the book, I got really excited and I just kind of explored on Facebook and thought I would introduce myself. And here we are.
And here we are. That's usually how it goes. Really.
It really is.
People find out about us and they reach out and we say, come talk, come be on the podcast.
And we have to tell our listeners that Penny has a new puppy that's going to be in the episode with us. So what's the puppy's name?
Xena, Warrior Princess.
Yes, she is. Of course. Of course she is.
Here. Can you see her?
Oh, my God.
For our Patreon folks who can see this video, you get to see the puppy.
She looks like a stuffed animal. Like that is a stuffed animal you would buy from a shelf.
Well, Penny, give us your elevator pitch of your family. Are you ready?
All right.
On your mark, get set, go.
So, hello. I have a partner that I've been with for 43 years. We have a son that's 32, Zachary. And we did the first same-sex parent adoption in Alberta, Canada. And it took 5 years, but we were very successful. And we're happy in our life. Sue was diagnosed with MS, but we just kind of work around it and we go from there. Whatever happens, happens. And take things one day at a time.
You are media trained at 33 seconds.
That was very, even with a dog in the background. She was not deterred. Wow. How many years you said?
43.
Congratulations. That is no easy feat. I mean, maybe it was easy for you. I don't think 43 is going to be easy.
Well, we joke a lot. We still say we're on our first date, as this is the first same-sex relationship for both of us. And so we often just kid that we're still on our first date for 43 years. So
I guess that's the secret. There it is.
We're talking about the 80s when you had your kid, right?
So Zachary was born in 1987, and he was about 4 years old, and he got hit in the back of the neck with a baseball bat. And I worked in ICU and couldn't leave. So Sue took him to the children's hospital. And they wouldn't do anything because she was just the mother's friend. So I had to end up leaving work. And so what we did is we got shared guardianship and day-to-day care. So we petitioned the court and won that. But we knew we wanted to do an adoption. And so we started looking at lawyers to see whether they would do this. And lawyers would say to me, if you have $500,000 in your pocket, I'd be happy to take the case. But we didn't. So we had to kind of figure out what to do.
And why was that? Because it was just going to be such a lengthy process
to
win it?
Well, because nobody had done it before, and it would have to probably be a charter challenge of charter rights and freedoms. And it could end up the Supreme Court of Canada. And so it would be very expensive. And so we kind of just figured that we would do guardianship and we would just do whatever we needed to do to keep him safe and have him know that he had two parents, and whatever happened legally. We got our wills done. Our family was on board, both of our families. They knew what we wanted. But there were people in the community in Calgary. It's a very conservative province of Canada. And there were people that could come along and say, I don't think that's the best fit for that child if the mother died, and yank the child out of Sue's life and the only other parent that he would have known. So Zachary was about 7 by this time. And a friend of ours from the community was a lawyer, and he was involved in what was called the Delwyn Vereen case. And this was a gay man who taught school in a Christian college, and somebody outed him. And so he lost his job, and it went to the Supreme Court of Canada. And the lawyer that we knew, he actually argued in the Supreme Court, and he won the case. So with that happening, we decided it was time to continue and really pursue this. So we talked to this lawyer, and we asked him if he would do a reduced rate of, rather than $300 an hour, if he would charge us what was kind of like legal aid rates of like maybe $60 an hour, $100 an hour.
Was there no like Lambda or anybody to do pro bono?
No, Leaf wouldn't do anything. Now, in saying that, they did lots of fundraisers for us. And
sure.
Another couple was interested that we knew that was interested, and they had a son that was about 3 years younger than Zachary. And so what we decided to do was team up together, split the legal fees in half, and we would just go from there, and the lawyers would charge us legal aid rates. So that was really great. So we started with that. The community did tons of fundraisers. Like, they really came together, and AGRA, they did dances. We got to get the money from that. Lesbian Mothers, we ran Lesbian Mothers, and they did lots of coat checks and lots of stuff so that we could get the funds from that.
So when you say community, you mean LGBTQ community?
Yes, but also the straight community. There was a fundraising team put together, and it actually consisted of a physician, one of the physicians that was actually Zachary's doctor. And he put together a letter to a mass campaign. And he asked for people to join on. So the United Church of Canada, they submitted that they would be happy to help in whatever way they could. Other people donated money. I don't even know how much money we ended up with, because we were not involved. We did not want to have any part of that. We wanted to keep that separate. The lawyers would just bill us, and we would pay the bill. And then whatever the fundraising at the very end had taken in, they would just apply that to whatever was left over. And that was kind of the agreement.
All right, Robin.
Yeah.
You know, we've been super upfront with all the stresses that are slowly drowning us these days. I mean, jobs, families, kids getting hit by cars, homeschooling that doesn't work, nannies almost leaving us, budgets dwindling, family always home. We never get alone time. Never.
Yeah.
This year has been tough. You know this.
It has. We need relief. I'm not kidding.
Listen, that is why I think we should both take up yoga. I found a really great app. It's Bulldog Yoga Online. It's great.
Listen, you had me at relief. Okay. You lost me at yoga. I tried it a couple times. I don't think it's for me, Jamie.
No, listen, I knew you were going to say this, and I know what you're going to say. you've tried yoga and you never went back,
yeah,
or you've been afraid to try, or maybe because of how intimidating the experience is, you don't want to go. But Bulldog Yoga Online is about taking the intimidation out of yoga, Robin, and replacing it with music, smiles, and no judgment.
Okay.
Bulldog Online is about making yoga fun, Robin. Yes.
All right.
I just took one right before this, and I loved it. Great music, good moves. And there are choices for all levels, from beginners to heart-pumping workouts, which you know I want. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there are tons of class-length options to fit your schedule, which we need right now, because mm-hmm. classes range from only 12 minutes to 60 minutes. Bulldog's streaming online classes are available on demand anytime, anyplace on your schedule. So we can do this during a pandemic, Robin. We can do this.
Amazing. Amazing. Mm-hmm. I think my kids actually need this.
Guess what?
What?
Bulldog offers classes for kids and teens.
Okay. All right. We're going to try it. That's amazing.
Okay. Add a girl. Try your first 30 days for free, Robin, at bulldogonline.com.
You had me at free. Bulldogonline.com.
Yeah. And you just have to use the code OCT for an additional 50% off your first paid month. So that's 2 months, basically.
Come on. 50% off. Again, that's bulldogonline.com. Coupon code is OCT.
We're going to get calm, Robin, you and
Namaste.
I.
Namaste.
Namaste.
So we started this and we petitioned the court. The government decided to fight it. So the Child Welfare Act in Alberta said that a step-parent adoption could only be an opposite-sex adoption. And if we wanted to do an adoption, that would mean I would have to give parental rights up and Sue would be the legal mother. Well, that isn't what we wanted. No. So
you were essentially fighting for what is second parent adoption rights in the United States, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And what year was this, by the way, just to give people time?
So it ended up 99 granted, and it was 5 years before that. So 1995-ish. Every time we were to go to court, the government lawyers postponed. So it became 5 years and we were really frustrated. So 6 weeks before we were actually heading to court, the government lawyers decided they changed the Child Welfare Act and we could adopt.
Oh my God.
By this time, we were $155,000 in debt.
Oh my God.
So we.
And 5 years later, not to mention.
Yeah.
Your son is already like ready to leave the house.
Yeah. So he's by this time, well, he's seven when we started and he was 12 when we ended up.
Oh my God.
Our lawyer knew somebody kind of influential in the legal circles. And he was talking to this person and they said to him, why don't you decide to go to court and try and get some of the money back? And there's three kinds of ways that that could happen. A judge could say, no, nothing. You could get nothing back. You could get a portion of what you paid back, or you could get penny to penny costs. And really what we wanted was to pay what every other parent would do that would do an adoption. We weren't asking for a free ride. We actually had to have psychological evaluations done. We had to be seen by a psychologist. We had to have our family dissected to make sure this was a safe environment for our son. And it was actually demoralizing to have to have someone come into your house to know that you purposely got pregnant and decided to have a child. And it wasn't an over the night first night date pregnancy. This was a 3-year planning to get pregnant. And so we decided to do that, to proceed with going to court, knowing that we may end up owing more money, but it was worth it. Mm-hmm. So we went to court in June of 1999, and the judge heard the case, and his wife is very, we kind of knew who his wife was, and she's quite liberal, but we weren't sure where this judge would land. So he heard the case, and then November 26, 1999, we got the ruling, and he ruled that the adoption could go through and that we would get all of our money back except what $1,500, I believe it was.
What you would have paid.
Which we would have paid to do an adoption. Anybody would have paid.
Oh, my God. Bless him, huh?
You know, that's so incredible. It was just amazing. Now, going to court, there were interveners from the Catholic Church, from the Christian League. There was a woman named, I don't know if I can name her. You can bleep it out.
You sure can name her.
Hermione Dykeshorn. And she,
no.
Yes. And she wrote columns in the paper saying she was fighting this so hard, she didn't have time to go grocery shopping to feed her family. And she should, you know, like, okay, well, butt out and go feed your family. And
what business is it of? Oh, my God. And this, and your child, like, it's insane to me. What is wrong with people?
I don't understand it. Now, Zachary was 12. He ended up having to sign a piece of paper giving Sue permission to actually adopt him by that point,
which
he was really excited to do. Yes. So, you know, at 12 years old, we became a legal family.
Oh,
and
my God.
It was exhausting. It was exhilarating.
That had to take on emotional toll.
Oh, for sure it did. It really did. We had there was a blackout of our names. We couldn't name the child. We couldn't be identified in the news. There's still actually a news blackout about it. But at this
point. From you, because you didn't want to be harassed?
Well, yes. So we wanted the kids to be safe. And so we asked for the kids never to be identified. I think Matthew is 28 and Zachary's will be 32 this year. So that publication ban is still on and we're asking them to take it off. Only because we've come so far in doing parent adoptions that it's not really appropriate anymore.
Right.
And we kind of ignore that there's a publication ban and just do our own thing anyway. So I'm not really concerned about it.
Jamie, isn't it ironic that we're super lesbians?
Super, super.
And yet we talk about sperm all the time, like all the time.
All the time. Oh, wait a second. Are we about to tell everyone about the special code we have for folks who need sperm to start their families?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, we are. California Cryobank is offering our listeners a free level 2 donor information subscription for 90 days.
Guys.
Worth $145.
Guys, this is big. Okay, so here's what you're going to get with the subscription. It gives you access to extended donor profiles, childhood photos, adult photos for some of the donors. It gives you access to their medical histories. You can read personal essays they've written. I mean, it's a lot. I couldn't have picked my donor without those extras.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. California Cryobank offers 14 different donor information items to help clients with their selection process and to provide the future children with in-depth information about their donor. And let me tell you, when you start this search for Superman, because that's what it will become, you want everything you can get on these guys. Like, you want everything you can. Right?
It's true. And so you're going to get 90 days with access to all level 2 perks. And that's in my opinion, plenty of time to create your super spreadsheet and your binders to pick that donor.
Or don't create them and still pick your donor. But here's the thing. You're also going to get with a level 2 or 3 donor subscription, you get a donor keepsake, which is basically it's a USB drive that includes digital files of your donor's level 2 or level 3 information items. So basically everything about them. And this keepsake is going to allow you to preserve your donor's information and share it with your child one day. It's just an easy way to hold on to it all.
Such a cool idea.
It's not cool.
So, folks, this is California Cryobank is the sperm bank that both Jamie and I use to make our kids. And we're partial for that reason. I'm not going to lie, because we got four great kids.
Yeah.
So you're going to want to go to cryobank.com. That's CRYOBANK.com. And you're going to make those babies.
Yes,
and then you're going to tell us about it.
Yes, you are.
Okay, and use the code OCT. Don't forget.
Yes, OCT. Go make them.
So many babies, so little time.
It was exhausting. It was demoralizing because you would get close to going to court and then the government would want to postpone. And then you get close to going to court and they'd want to postpone. So, you know, those ups and downs were really hard. And it was really tough on Zachary for a long time. You know, we always told Zachary, we would read a book to Zachary and it would, you know, the book would say the dad read a story to his children and we'd read that and we go, but you don't have a dad. You have two parents and you have a mom and you have a Sue. So for many years, he called Sue a Sue. So it was quite cute. I have a mom Sue. And I have an a Sue. You know, so.
Oh, that's so cute.
So, you know, for him, it was, he had two parents. We never hid it from our families. We never hid it from his friends. His friends came and played, and there was never a question. We would talk to parents. We would know their parent, the children's parents. They would know us. It was never an issue. We had one incident from a school. They told Zachary that he called someone a fag, and Zachary came home and said he didn't. And Sue wrote the teacher a letter and said, Zachary understands what that word means. And he said he didn't do it. And then on Monday, he came home and he was crying. And we asked why. And he said, I told the teacher I did it because she told me that if you call somebody a fag, they will come to your house, or someone knew you were gay, they would come to your house, set it on fire and kill you. And so he said he said it so that he wouldn't bother her. Well, we flew to the school immediately.
I bet you did.
And that teacher ended up losing her job. We did a ton of education with the school because I'm really about education. I'm not about penalizing somebody. I'm about educating somebody. And if I can educate somebody and I don't have to change their mind, I just have to understand that they're not going to make my child feel bad because they have a different household than anyone else. I think in Zachary's class of 20 kids, there were two that had a mother and a father living in the same household.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, alternative families are alternative families, and it doesn't matter what they are. Yeah. I think, you know, if you have family that loves you and takes care of you, that's all that matters.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I want to know, how did you guys make Zachary? How did he come about?
Yeah, we sort of jumped over that.
Yeah, we did.
Yes.
We got right into the meat of the loss.
But this is so fitting because now we get to really, really, you know, take a deep dive into how this little boy was created with so much intention. And I have a 3-year-old who just entered.
I just saw a kid run by and then I saw a grown up run by.
So I went to the fertility clinic in Calgary at one of the major hospitals. Now, bear in mind, I worked in healthcare, and so I kind of had an inkling where to go and how to kind of navigate the system. The physician there said, we won't inseminate single women. There's no way we'll inseminate a lesbian. And so I was
like— And this was him talking or the policy of the hospital?
This was the policy of the hospital and the clinic. We took some time. We went to lots of workshops. We actually presented in a workshop in Seattle. Zachary was born by that time, but we actually went and did a parenting workshop in Seattle called Considering Parenthood. And that's one of the things that we did was, no, Zena, no.
Zena is very mad about the fact that you are being discriminated against.
I mean, geez.
And I cannot blame her. I'm with you, Zena.
It's okay. It's okay, Zena. Anyway, we talked to a friend. We do not know the donor at all, but we talked to a friend, and she was a feminist, and she had lots of friends who were feminists. So they talked to their husbands, and it was kind of time to either put up or shut up because their husbands were feminists.
Uh-huh.
And so what we did is what they arranged, and we had no inkling of this, was they arranged that the husbands would donate fresh sperm. I would phone the person and say, I'm ovulating. They would phone their contact. They would make a deposit. She would pick it up, and I would meet her outside of her house.
This is the friend.
Yes, this is a friend. So this.
But wait, can I just ask one question? Was the husband, it was the husband of the friend? Or that this was a friend who connected
different
you to
husbands.
Two other feminists.
So this was a lesbian friend who had friends that were feminists.
Got
and
it.
And their husbands, two husbands offered to donate.
Wow.
And
amazing.
So what we did is we would phone on ovulation days, and we did it 4 days in a row. So we'd use husband one the first and third night. and husband two the second and fourth night.
This is amazing.
I'm sure if you were a cop sitting on the street corner, it would look like a drug deal.
Yeah, in a brown paper bag.
That's exactly what would happen, in a sock and a brown paper bag in the window. And I would drive home and we would use the specimen.
Oh my God.
We practiced with egg whites for a couple of months before doing this.
I've never heard that before.
What do you do with the egg whites?
Broth.
We just practiced with egg whites, inseminating with egg whites. So you got the hang of, because it's the same consistency. And so
smart.
So we did that a couple of months just to kind of practice to make sure we kind of knew what we were doing and how to do it. So I would go pick up the specimen. And on July 12th at 4:10 p.m., I did my last insemination, and we left to go to Vancouver Island on holidays to visit Sue's parents and her family. And on the way there, I said to Sue, "Oh my God, my breasts are sore." And she's going, "Oh, shut up." You know. Anyway, I caught a speeding ticket on the way there. When the policeman pulled me over, he said, "Do you have a reason for speeding?" And I said, "Yes, I'm pregnant and I'm going on holidays and I'm just really excited and I'm really sorry." And he just started to laugh. He goes, "Well, you know, to get on your holiday really safe and to keep your baby safe, I would suggest you just slow down a little bit and have a nice holiday." Okay, thank you. Off we went. So we were away for a couple of weeks and I came back and I didn't get my period. And so I said to Sue, "Let's try." And it was negative. And then a couple of days later, I said to Sue, "I still don't have my period. Let's try again." So I did it again and I was pregnant. And so I got really excited. However, I didn't have a family doctor by this time because my family doctor had left the city. I sang in a gay and lesbian chorus and there was a physician in there that I knew that I worked with. And I kind of asked him some thoughts about what I should do. So he gave me the names of some physicians that were at least friendly. He suggested I go to a male physician because he said, believe it or not, they're much more patient with quote unquote alternative families. That is really kind of weird and scary, but okay. So I did. And I went to this guy. I explained how I got pregnant. And he said, "So your pregnancy is not like anyone else. Don't worry about it." So on April 9th at 4:08 in the morning, Zachary was born. And the hospital was amazing. I worked in that hospital. So they were amazing. They gave Sue a little card and said she was the only other one who could take Zachary out of the nursery. And they were incredible. I had a 4-hour labor with like nothing. I was like, woke up in labor, went to the hospital, delivered.
Wow.
You're a champ. For you.
And then I was home the next morning at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. Amazing.
What amazes me is I don't want to put it in words of anyone else, but I always think, oh, Canada, like, the place you want to go, like everybody's wonderful. And it's like, it's not the first time we've heard, especially during that time period, that they just would not inseminate single women or lesbians. And I just, it's so crazy to me because it just seems so counterintuitive to everything we hear about Canada in general.
We just love Canada.
Well, first of all, it was the beginning of the AIDS epidemic.
Right.
Right.
And so people were a little hesitant. We live in Alberta. It's very conservative, incredibly conservative. So if you lived in Quebec, which is a very Catholic province, they had way more rights than we did in Alberta for many years. So it was way easier. Other provinces in British Columbia, you could get inseminated in a hospital. In fact, we actually made an appointment to go to a hospital in British Columbia to be inseminated, which I'm glad we didn't do, because a few years later, I don't know how old Zachary would have been, 6 or 7, the physician running that had actually donated his own sperm and had something like 90 children.
We heard about this.
So I'm really happy that we did not do that. But,
oh my God.
You know, and then, okay, so hold on to your shirts. We had so many friends that wanted to have children. We decided to run our own underground sperm running program.
Wait, Penny. What?
What? Penny?
Yeah, we did.
This what does that mean? Thickening. Tell us more, Penny.
So oh God, we Penny. We recruited friends that we would know, male friends that we would know, and had very serious talks about them donating sperm anonymously to lesbian women with some caveats. They had to be in a monogamous long-term relationship. They had to go for HIV testing. And we had a physician in our corner who would get those results. And she would not disclose them to us, but she would tell us it was safe or not. And so we did that. We have about 8 friends who we did this with.
Wow. So you made 8 babies outside of your own kids?
Yes. So wow. I don't know.
What are we hosting this podcast for?
I know. Penny should be our host.
So, you know, and then HIV got really bad. And I got really scared because I worked in ICU that if a child was born with HIV, how were we going to explain that? We were technically breaking the law, running a medical practice without a medical license, although we had a physician on board, because doctors couldn't do it in their office.
You had to go rogue to make these families.
Exactly. It's really, we've led an incredibly fulfilling life. Unfortunately, Sue in 2002 was diagnosed with MS. And this last April became very sick and is now full-time care. She's at home, but she is now full-time care. And she retired. She worked at what was called the Calgary Women's Center with women in poverty for 22 years. I had planned to retire in November, moved up my retirement to September so that she could come home and be at home rather than being in long-term care or in continuing care, because there were so many people sick and dying in continuing care with coronavirus that I would rather have her at home. So that's kind of what we did.
I have one more question about the making of Zachary. How did you decide who was going to carry? Like, you guys made Zachary together the whole time you were together for the making of Zachary.
So we had been together 6 years approximately, maybe even longer. And I said to Sue, I really want to have a child, which scared me because I had tons of friends, straight friends, who had children, and Sue would kind of disappear when they were around. So I was kind of a little leery. Sue didn't talk to me for 2 days, and I was really scared. What had I done? So after 2 days, I kind of broached the subject again and said, you know, has this fractured our relationship? And she said, no, I was wondering what was wrong with our relationship. What I had done, I was thinking that it was something lacking, not in wanting to enhance our relationship. So once I realized you wanted to enhance the relationship, then it became clear to me that this is what we should do. So it was a process, a huge process. Both of our parents were on board. My parents were ecstatic. Sue is my first relationship. I dated a guy for 7 years who married my best friend.
Ugh.
And so I moved from Ontario to Alberta for a job. And I met Sue here. We lived in a rooming house together, had our own bedrooms, but shared a kitchen and bathroom. And we jogged and played tennis together and became really good friends. So our relationship just kind of blossomed out of that. So that's kind of how we met. So when I hadn't gone home for a couple of years to Ontario, and I decided to go home for Christmas, and my dad said to me, so is Sue a roommate or is she more than a roommate? And I thought, I have to walk through this door he's opened.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I came out to my parents.
You're a trailblazer, you and Sue. And like you should have recognition as like people who, you know, blazed a trail for the rest of us LGBTQ parents.
You know, we did this to solidify our family, not for the rest of society. Now, in saying that, at the very end, after our adoption was finalized, two of the women that we knew, one of them was really sick, and they had a four-year-old and a newborn baby, a six-month-old baby, and she was going to die. Oh. And they really wanted the adoption to go through. They were 3 minutes in the courtroom having the adoption go through. She died 2 months later. Oh. I was just like ecstatic for them that they didn't have to go through a whole lot of other things. So yes, there's huge ripple effects. Mm-hmm. We decided to set up a legal fund with the money that we had already paid so that other people who wanted to adopt who didn't have the funds to, the lawyers would have access to that money for them.
Wonderful. I'm so glad that your son bought our book and that you reached out to us and that you shared your story with us. It's so wonderful.
Well, thank you. It's certainly an incredible story. I don't discount that. I don't think of myself as a hero. I think of myself. Well, thank you. But, you know, really, I just wanted to make sure that Zachary was safe. I just think that everyone who decides to have a child should have that right to decide to have a child. And if they decide not to have children in their life, then that's cool too. But I don't think the government has any right to stand in your way and say, you can't be a fit parent because of whom you love or who you share your life with. It's just not appropriate in my world.
Not in ours either.
Ah, well, thank you so much.
That was beautiful. Beautiful, amazing. Intentional, tenacity. It's all right here in your story.
Yes, thank you. Thank
love you.
Love
it.
Oh, Penny. Is she a delight?
She really is.
Ugh. I was sad that we couldn't talk to Sue because she wasn't feeling well, but it just like their relationship, their 43 years. I hope Mary and I are that happy of 43 years. I know. That's all I can say.
Well, they did a lot. They did a lot of amazing stuff together. They're really working hard for the community.
Yeah, I know. And it's like they could have taken all that money and they could have been like, oh, we're just going to like pay down our debt. And they were like, nope, we're going to give that money to other families who need it to adopt. Like, that's incredible.
They're amazing. I love them.
But listen, even though we didn't get to hear from Sue, she's active on the social media at Instagram. And she has, I think, the best Instagram handle. It's at Sue Glad to Be Here. Come on now.
Come on.
Sue Glad to Be Here. That's
we're
so great.
We're glad you're here too, Sue. We're so glad. We are. Also, Penny sent us a voicemail from their son, Zach. And I think everybody should take a listen.
I always struggle with questions like, what's it like to grow up with gay parents, or what was it like to be part of this achievement? Because as a kid, I didn't really have any point of comparison for it. It was just, you know, normal. So like all kids, as far as I knew, grew up with parents who would fight the government if they had to. In a lot of ways, nothing really changed after. Before the adoption, I had two loving parents. I could only play my Super Nintendo every other month, and on Sundays, we would watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Star Trek Voyager. And after the adoption, still had two loving parents, could still only play my Super Nintendo every other month. On Sundays, we'd still watch Buffy and Star Trek. So I think even at that age, I understood that a lot of the actual effects were a matter of paperwork, insurance, health benefits, hospital visitation, that sort of thing. Like, of course, has real world implications. The funny thing, I think, was how quickly all the fear died down. I went from seeing my family, specifically my family, maligned weekly on the evening news to suddenly same-sex adoption just wasn't a big deal. All the think pieces suddenly pivoted to the next thing, which was, I think, gay marriage. It was a good lesson for me, I think, about how all the media outrage around same-sex rights is really just a big grift. The world didn't end. Nobody wanted to admit they were wrong. They just, you know, moved on to the next thing. And I kind of go through spurts where I try to read everything I can about the case, the court decision, the press coverage at the time, even the deposition of the lady from AFWF. Alberta Focus on Women United for Families. It's a mouthful. So I guess that's my way of saying thanks to y'all at this podcast for doing this episode. I guess your book made an even better Christmas gift than I expected. Thanks for that. And if this were in text, I would put a smiley emoji because I don't really know how to end things. Bye. I look forward to the episode.
That's one lucky kid that he had, Penny and Sue. Yeah. But he sounds like he turned out kind of delightful as well.
Oh, don't they all? So, you guys, we're so glad you tuned in today. Go out there, get our book, If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We've Learned About Making an LGBTQ Family, at all major retailers. And if you want to buy locally, check IndieBound. You can also get the audiobook if you want us to read to you at night, which who doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
That's available on Amazon and iTunes. And if you do get it, please don't be afraid to review it on Amazon or Goodreads. No shame in that game. Review.
No shame in the review game. I don't know what that was.
You can see her hands doing a weird dance.
I was doing like a weird shoulder dance during all that, so it's very melodic what you were doing.
That's how it goes.
Okay, folks. Let's can we just keep this conversation
yes,
going?
Please.
I don't want to leave you. Jamie doesn't want to leave you. So find us at Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Mm-hmm. If These Ovaries Could Talk on YouTube. And on our YouTube channel, we have all the recordings of our live streams that we do each Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Mm-hmm. And you can support our podcasts and join our community on patreon.com/ovariestalk. Don't forget, you're going to get bonus content over there, including video of the full-length interview, you know, not edited, no ads, of most all of our interviews.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Come on.
Listen, my mom says that's her favorite thing, to watch the videos now.
And if Sue Kelton says it's good, you know it's good.
Thank you to all of our sponsors, Bulldog Yoga, Generate Life Sciences, and a big thank you to all our Patreons who are helping us make this show possible. We thank you so much. We love you all. We couldn't do it without you. My child is screaming his head off.
All right. Eggs. Oh, screaming God. Babies.
Ovaries.
Out.
It's going to be so fun to go out there right now. Okay. All right.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, eggs, ovaries, out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.